You know, there are some things that I'm, you know, as a pastor, there's a lot of things that get on my mind and the devil beats me up about, and I look at things and I think, man, I just wish, you know, I wish it was like this, or I wish I could do this, or I wish I had more of this, or I wish I had more than that, and sometimes I get selfish that way. Maybe that just comes with being a pastor, because I want to look out and see the church house so full that we got to open up the overflow and we got to do this and we got to worry about building a new church. That'd be a horrible thing to worry about, right? I think about those things. But then again, I know what Jesus did say and what Jesus did not say. Jesus didn't say that every pastor was going to have a mega church, right? He didn't say that. He didn't promise that in the Scripture. There's nowhere in the Scripture that He promises that. He did say, go and gather crowds, right? No, He didn't say that either, did He? He went to the crowds. Crowds gathered around Him. Jesus said, go and make disciples. That's what He said. That's the purpose of the church, right? I preach and I teach on discipleship. That's my job in the district. And it's not just my job. It's a passion that I have because I love to talk to people about Jesus. But you know, the future of the church in our generation will not be determined by how many people sit in the pews. It'll only be determined by how many people are carrying the cross. Because that's what's most important. You know, as the District NDI Council president, every month I receive all the statistical reports from all 72 churches. I see them all. And in them reports, they report... Each one of reports their average attendance, their baptisms. They report their new members. They report their new conversions. And that's what they report. And I see month after month after month after month. And I'm not saying this to talk bad about any of our churches in our district. Don't get me wrong about this. But I look, you know, we seem to focus so much on the numbers. We even got a board still up here on the back wall. We put our number up there, how many we have in our attendance. That's supposed to be an encouragement to encourage us, okay, we got to do better next week, right? That's what it was intended to do. It's been in many churches for many years, but when I look at those reports, the thing that hits me the most is not about the 30 people in a lot of our churches. Most of our churches are 50 or under. It's not about how many people that they have coming to church every Sunday morning. It's not about how many new members they brought in. What I find the most important to pastors and members seem to be the attendance. But in reality, the most important number that is in there is the conversions. How many people are getting saved? That's the most important thing. And if I told you out of the 72 churches how many report conversions every month, you guys would probably be shocked. And I see a lot of churches that report month after month after month after month, zero. And a lot of the churches have been 30 people for 30 years and they report zero every month. Then you have churches that have great growth, it seemed like. What I see in many of our churches are these zero conversions each month and month after month and year after year. And even though some are seeing a few new numbers or new members or an even higher attendance in their numbers, the reality is transferable is what I'm saying. Because those numbers a lot of times are because somebody either transferred from another church to their church. Many churches celebrate that increase, and so we should. I'm glad to have new members, aren't you? Amen?
Amen.
I'm glad to see people come to church, but I'm more glad when I see people come to Jesus. Amen? Because as much as I love all of you, my goal is to see people come to Jesus. It should be your goal too. That's the most important thing. That's how we grow the kingdom of God, is to share the gospel with everyone we meet. And that's not that, you know, we celebrate those increases, but I'm going to tell you that we reported this year 12 new conversions. Amen? Our little church, 12 new conversions. That's for the whole year. We can do better than that, can't we? You know, if you guys lead somebody to Christ, tell me about it, because we can report that. It counts, right? As a member of this church, it counts. It matters if you lead somebody to Christ. Now, they may not come to church here, but that's not the most important thing. The most important thing is that they come to know Jesus, and guess what? They become a part of the kingdom of God. So today I want to ask the church some questions. You guys, are we disciples? Maybe you can ask that a little more personal. I mean, you can look at it as a church. Is this church a disciple-making place? Now, ask yourself that question. Am I a disciple maker? Are we making disciples like Christ asked us to? That was His great commission, but it was also a great command to the church, to His disciples. Go and make disciples. It wasn't a go and make them when you feel like it. It wasn't a go when you got time. It was go. This is your job. This is what I want you to do. I want you to go make disciples of all nations. I want you to baptize them. That's important. Right? I want you to do that. I want you to teach them everything that I've commanded you to do. Now, He didn't say, go teach them everything I've asked you to do. This is how strong these words are in that. I want you to go and tell them everything I have commanded you to do. That implicates something that the church must do, right? I've commanded you, go teach them to obey my commands, to be obedient to me, to go make disciples. You know, there's a work that God's already begun. He started that work. And He said, I'm going to go away for a while, but when I come back, I'll be back one of these days, but while I'm gone, I want you to do this work that I'm telling you to do. Right? I gave you a job to do. And then He's told so many parables before this about, well, you know, there was this guy that went away and he left his servants in charge and he gave him a little bit of money, and He didn't tell him when he's going to be back. He just said, well, when he comes back. There was all these parables in there. Jesus was referring to this same thing, church. He's left us in charge of a great thing to do, a great a job to do, a church to take care of, a community to teach and to baptize. And He says, one of these days I'm going to come back, and what am I going to say to you when I get back? Philippians chapter 1, verse 3. And 6 says, every time I think of you, this is Paul speaking, I give thanks to my God. Whenever I pray, I make my request for all you with joy. I was reading off of here a little different translation. Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. You hear that? What he's saying is he continues his work until it is finally finished on the day when Jesus Christ returns. It'll be finished then, right? The work is done. When he returns. Paul's writing this from prison, which he seemed to be in prison a lot, you know, because of his faith. And in like 60 to 62 AD, the Philippian church was birthed in this great oppression. There was a lot of suffering going on in their community. And I mean the community of the church. They were being persecuted harshly. And yet it was marked by partnership in the gospel. It was marked with Paul's like, man, I take great joy in hearing what I hear coming from your church. And even though they were in great persecution or under great persecution, they were still spreading the gospel and still doing the work that the Lord had started. I look at the Greek word there for partners is koinonia, and it means to fellowship, to participate in a shared mission. Amen? That's what we have. We are partnered with Christ into a shared mission. And because discipleship's not solid, it's not solitary, right? It takes all of us working together as a church. It can't be done alone. It is shared with the life of Christ that he lived. That's why he said, take up your cross and follow me. That phrase, good work, Paul refers to not merely a moral improvement, right? In the understanding, it means it's done by the saving and sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit in God's grace. Amen? Because we cannot do it. This work that he begun, that word begun, it indicates a divine initiative. God starts that work. And when you look at the word, the phrase will continue, it means to bring full completion to it. Full completion. Right? Salvation is not self-started or self-finished. It's God's work from the beginning to the end. You hear me? 1 Thessalonians 1, 4 and 5 says this, being confident... Wait, we go back here. For we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. Man, because of our gospel came to you, not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. Think about that. How are we living among our brothers and sisters for the sake of Christ? This other translation, the NLT, I like it because he says, for we know, dear brothers and sisters, that God loves you and has chosen you to be his own people. For when we brought you the good news, it was not only with words, but also with power. For the Holy Spirit gave you full assurance that what we said was true. Amen. We can't do it without the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. No one will come to know Jesus unless you know Jesus in your ministry. I think about a sculptor as he's working and chiseling away on a piece of marble, and at first it looks like chaos. You don't see anything, but every time he chips away, something becomes it starts to materialize or to develop into a beautiful finished masterpiece. And that's the way it is with God. He sees Christ formed in you. We become a new creation in Christ, and He begins to mold us and make us into little Christs, right? Amen. We become the image of Christ, and that's the sanctification. The grace saves us as we are, but love transforms us into who He wants us to be, right? I give thanks for the life change that I've had. Amen?
Amen.
When I sing these songs up here like we sang earlier, I don't sing them just to void words. I sing them because I'm giving thanks to God for changing my life. I praise Him every day because of lives change of people that I know that's lives have changed. Sometimes it's quiet obedience, and that's where we find a lot of spiritual growth. But discipleship begins with gratitude. The first song that we sang is called Gratitude. In the words, all my words fall short because it's His work that He did and He started. And He's given us this opportunity to serve Him with grace and gratitude that He has already given from the beginning. But there's a cost to true discipleship. Following Jesus daily is not always easy, is it? It's not. Especially in the world that we live in the world that they lived in there, it was much worse then than it is for us today. We've got it easy, guys. Luke chapter 9, verse 23, it says this. Then he said to them all, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Wow. You got to deny yourself. You know, that was spoken after Peter's confession and Jesus' first prediction of His death. If anyone wants, you hear that? If anyone wants, that's a choice we make, right?
Yeah.
Discipleship is voluntary, but it's also costly. Jesus said, do you know what it means to follow me? It's going to cost you something. You're going to have to give some stuff up in your life. You're going to have to let go of some things. You're going to have to cleanse and clean your house. You're going to have to open up your heart. Open up every room. Open up every part of yourself, and you're going to have to deny it all. Deny yourself and follow me. That give up, that word give up in the Greek, it means to disown. It's more than just deny, right? Disown. Take up your cross. In the Roman culture, that the cross meant execution. And no one carried a cross casually. It symbolized something much greater. When you take up your cross, it means you're executing part of yourself. Think about that. This follow, when we follow, to walk behind, to submit to another's authority. Well, that's something we don't like to do, is it? Romans chapter 12, verse 1. It said, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Wow. Offer it. Like a sacrifice, right? In the scripture, when they offered something, it was an offering. It was a burnt offering. It was consumed by fire. Right? That's what he's saying. You offer yourself as a sacrifice for me. Why? Because I sacrifice myself for you. Paul's uses this imagery here as living sacrifice or ongoing surrender. Right? We surrender ourselves every day, right? We give up every day to God to follow Him. We sacrifice every day. You know, I read a story once. I've read lots of stories once. There was a young man who wanted to climb a mountain. So he had a guide, and so he decided to pack this really, really heavy pack. He just kept stuffing stuff in there that he thought he needed. He insisted on carrying this heavy backpack filled with unnecessary belongings. His guide told him, if you want to reach the summit, you're going to have to leave some of that weight behind. And I think many Christians are in the same boat. We want the benefits of the cross, but we don't want the sacrifice that it takes. We want to carry all that extra baggage and that extra weight all the time, and we make it more difficult than what it really is. Because we have this stuff that we just got to have and we can't let go of it. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's not easy to let go of addictions. You deal with people who deal with addictions, let me tell you, it's not easy to let go. It's a heavy, heavy pack to carry. You know, one of the biggest problems in our communities right now, there's two big problems we have in our communities, is drug abuse and pornography. You know, we have, and you can see it almost daily, a good friend of mine's in law enforcement, and they're catching child predators almost every day. And you think, well, that's somewhere else. That's up in Chicago, that's right here. Right here in Union County. There's lots of baggage people carry. Because they don't want to surrender to Jesus. They don't want to carry their cross. And maybe they have a knowledge of Christ, but you know, Christ didn't die to forgive sinners who go on carrying anything other than the cross of Christ. Hear me this morning. Because discipleship is about the ultimate sacrifice. First, the sacrifice that He made. And to be His disciple is the sacrifice that we make every day to follow Him. And let me tell you, if Christ is not front and center, if He's not the supreme Lord in your life, then He's not Lord at all in your life. if Christ is not in the center of our church, if He's not supreme in our church, then He's not Lord of our church. No church will ever succeed. Oh, they may have a good program and they may have a good time and we may be able to get together and laugh and have a great time, but there will be no conversions. You know, in this culture we live in, it's obsessed with self-expressions, isn't it? We want to be ourselves. I don't know that anyone wants to be like me. I don't know if the world can handle another me. Somebody said amen to that. But you know what? I say that not to be arrogant about anything, because I'm nothing special. God didn't create us the same, did He? They ain't one of us here the same. And God gifted us. He gave each and every one of you a gift to use to build His kingdom. Amen?
Amen.
Every one of us. And we're all different. There's not another one like you. Praise the Lord, right? That's why I said that. You know, but discipleship truly means that it calls us to self-denial. You have to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Him. It calls you to obedience over convenience. It calls us to faithfulness over popularity. And it calls us to holiness over cultural applause and acceptance. Because our true mission is multiplying disciples. Amen? And if we're a church that's not multiplying disciples, then there's a problem. Our life in Christ is focused on passing the faith forward. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2 says this, "And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others." Paul writes this near the end of his life, and he's saying to us, he's clearly saying this in the Scriptures, that the future of the church depends on faithful transmission from a trustworthy group of people. You hear me?
Amen.
And we can see four generations of people right here in this conversation. It's Paul and it's Timothy. It's faithful people and it's others. Right? And that's really all of us here today. If you're a saved individual, if you come to know Christ, then you fall into one of these categories. I know you're not Paul, you're not Timothy. So you're either faithful people or you're one of the others. Right? There's a lot of Scripture about the one another's too. So don't discredit the others. Because the one another's are important. That in trust in the Greek, it means to deposit something valuable for safekeeping. I love that definition. You know, the gospel is not to be altered, but entrusted, and it's entrusted in us to share it. Matthew chapter 28, 18 through 20, favorite scripture. "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" Is Jesus with you today? Is Jesus with you today? I only heard a couple amens out of that. I guess seven people's got Jesus with them today. Amen? Come on. He says, go make disciples. That word, Mathetes, it means to produce learners. Church, are we producing learners? Are we producing followers? Are we producing apprentices? You know, the authority all belongs to Christ, but the obedience belongs to us. And that's disciple making right there. Faithful obedience, trusting God with all the results. Amen?
Amen.
So I'd ask you, ask yourself this question this morning. Who am I discipling? Who am I discipling? And who's discipling me? Because let me tell you, you need somebody to disciple you too. I've got good disciples around me. I couldn't live without them. Discipleship is relational and it's intentional and it's reproducible. But we're not making new church members. We're making Christ-like disciples. We're making Christians. Right? It's not, I like that better, right? Christians. We have to depend on Christ for everything we do because He is the vine and we are the branches. John 15:5 says, yes, I am the vine and you are the branches. Those who remain in me, I in them, will produce much fruit. Listen to this. Will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can't do anything. Amen. And that was spoken just hours before His crucifixion. That remain in me, that word meno in Greek, it means to abide. And we sang that song, abide. It means to dwell. It means to stay connected. Are you dwelling in Christ? Are you connected to Christ? Are you staying there? Are you abiding in Christ? You know, the fruitfulness is not just self-generated. It flows from the union with Christ, right? Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. How many of us are seeking the Holy Spirit today? Amen?
Amen.
How many of you are seeking the power of the Holy Spirit to say, I can't do this without you? I need you in my life and I can't do it without you. And the only way you're going to be successful as a faithful follower of Christ is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That word power, I love that word power. In the Greek, it's dynamis, right? It's the same word we get dynamite from, right? I've said it many times before, but it's one of my favorite Greek words. How dynamic is your life? How powerful is your life in Christ? Because discipleship is Spirit-empowered work. R.T. Kendall, I like to read some of his quotes. He's got some really good ones. He said, the greatest proof of the Holy Spirit's presence in your life is not gifts, but Christ-likeness. That's good, isn't it? Because it's not about what you can do. It's about what He does in you. True. True discipleship, it reflects Jesus, right? I've said this so many times, and I because when I look in the mirror, I don't want to see myself. I want to see Jesus. right? That's what I want people to see. I'm not always great at that. You can't manufacture spiritual fruit through programs alone. Programs are okay, but at first, it has to come with prayer. It has to be proven in Scripture. We have to be obedient, and we have to have fellowship with the Holy Spirit in Christ Himself. Or nothing we do will be successful. Well, you guys are quiet on me this morning. You know, the gospel is always at the center of everything. And it begins with conversion. Have you been saved? Have you accepted Christ into your life? And you know that without a shadow of a doubt that Christ is the Lord of your life. 1 Corinthians 15:3 and 4 says Christ died for our sins, just as the Scripture said. He was buried and He was raised from the dead on the third day. Jesus lived the life we could not live. And He died the death we deserved. He was buried and He rose from the dead triumphant over sin and death. Amen?
Amen.
And without repentance, there is no discipleship. And without faith, there is no following. And that Greek word there again, this repentance, it means a change of mind that leads to a change of direction. You think about that. That's right. Not a 360. It's a 180. Is your life different than it was before? Are you headed in a different direction? I'm headed, well, we think it's this way, right? That's what we hope. So I'd ask you to share the gospel with intention. Deepen your abide in Christ. Identify one person this week and tell them about Jesus. It's that simple. Because there's lots of people that are not saved. Lots of people that are not saved. There was a guy that, I heard this story about a guy that him and his wife hadn't had a vacation in a long time. Hope I get this right. So he said, well, I'm going to go on ahead. So he got an airline ticket and he flies out and he goes on vacation. He gets the hotel and he checks in. And so, you know, she had to work and so she stayed behind. And so he wanted to send her. And this guy, you know, was a pastor. And so he sends an email to her and he's, you know, but the problem was he messed up the email address and sent it to the wrong person. So the person that received the email was a lady that had just lost her husband. You guys heard this story before? I don't have to tell it then, do I? Finish it. Anyway, I love the story because the email read, I'm sure you're surprised to hear from me, but I want you to know everything is well. P.S. Sure is hot here. Oh, I thought that was funny. Anyway, discipleship is the most important thing of the church. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord. Lord, I thank You so much for this great group of people who have taken time to be here this morning, Lord, and their faith in You. Lord, I just pray that You increase their faith. Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here today that's not fully surrendered to you, that they make that choice right now. They come to know you and their life is changed. And Lord, I pray that the power of your Holy Spirit just overflow in our hearts. Lord, let your light shine through us and let us hear your voice and let us be obedient in your word as we go into all the world and make disciples. And I praise you and I thank you always for this great group of people here. Bless us in all that we do. And I pray all these in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.